We'll begin today's chapter and verse broadcast with this thought from Mike McIntosh on bearing spiritual fruit in our lives.
If there is a true vine, one must surmise that there must be a false vine. And you may be eating the false fruit, and you may be producing the false fruit. You may be so far from reality that it's going to take some major event in your life to shake you to your very foundations, to challenge you to the depth of your soul. But again, Jesus declares his relationship with the Father. It all goes back to the Father. There is a God, and he's my Father, and I'm submitted to him.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus.
You've joined us for Chapter and Verse Radio, where pastor, teacher, and author Mike McIntosh will be taking us on a journey to learn how we can fall in love with the Holy Spirit. In our text from the Gospel of John, we hear Jesus say, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." It's through Jesus Christ's death and resurrection that we receive salvation, and it's by the will of his Father. Yet there's one more person in the triune God that speaks to our very soul, leading us and giving us discernment in the choices we make in our lives. That's the person of the Holy Spirit. If you fall in love with the Bible, you'll learn to know what God wants you to do. If you fall in love with prayer, you'll partake of the sweet fellowship God wants to have with you. And if you fall in love with the Holy Spirit, you'll be led by God to a wonderful life filled with the joy and peace that this world will never know. The book of John, chapter 15, is our text, and Mike McIntosh is our instructor as we begin our teaching today on C&V.
So we learn the longer the Word is in our lives, searching our souls, the purer we become and the purer we are. If we let the Word do the work of surgery with its sharp edge as a double-edged sword, our mouth gets pure, our thinking gets pure, our actions and our heart gets pure, and we begin to produce fruit. Now, read with me the book of Malachi, chapter 3. Now, Malachi is only four books back. It's the last book in the Old Testament. After the prophet Malachi spoke, there was silence from heaven for 400 years, approximately. And then the gospel came, and Jesus brought the gospel. Look what Malachi says in the third chapter of his prophecy. Verse 1, "I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." But let me ask you a question. Who may abide? Now, Jesus said abide. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appears? Who's going to be able to do that? "For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness." So to abide takes purity. To have the fuller soap come in with the fire of the Holy Ghost and begin burning you, and you looking at yourself and saying, "My life, it is so far from God." And then he comes in with that scouring power to cleanse your heart. And when he shows you what's wrong, for you to just say, "Father God Almighty, oh, I hate this. Take it, please." Yeah, it might hurt because part of you is dying. But when he washes and cleanses you, that issue might be a 3-year period of your life. Is evaporated, never to have a root from the world of the flesh to ever motivate you again in that area. You're free. In whom the Son sets free is actually free indeed. In verse 4, we see that he says that abiding in him is so important because you can't do anything except by abiding in him. The disciples spent every moment with him that they could for 3 years. And I found as you fellowship with him and keep his commandments, you continue to grow. A branch that we see disconnected from a tree, everyone here would know it can't bear fruit, nor can you or me. Neither of us could. Now, have you ever seen a small lime or lemon tree, and you walk up to a small tree and it's bearing some fruit, its first or second year growth. But let's say the kids are running around your backyard and they bump into this tree and it breaks a branch. The branch isn't off the tree, but it is broken. And you come out and say, oh my goodness, there's three limes on that. This thing's broken. I don't know how it got broken. But if you look at it very closely, the first day, the second day, what does it look like inside? It's white. Because there's still some life flowing through it. Now you come back a week from now and that breaking is going to be gray and then brown. It's dead. The leaves are going to dry up and they're going to die. It's the life source from the true vine, from the trunk blowing into that branch that is giving the greenness and giving the life to produce fruit. Now let's take it a step further. That limb is actually completely broken off and it's laying on the floor of the ground. And you walk by and you say, oh, that's broken off, but it still has some fruit on it. Well, that's never ever going to grow fruit again. And then it's just going to die. It's just going to lay there for days and there is no source coming into it to bring life. And if you're not in the Word of God, and you're not walking with Jesus Christ, there is no source to keep you alive into eternity. It's that simple. Abide in me, Jesus said. Very emphatically, abide in me. A branch disconnected just doesn't bear fruit. Many things in life don't seem to add up to us. But you can ask yourself a simple equation. What is my source of life? Is it the things of the world that are the cares that I'm always spending time on? Or is my source, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what is your plan? Lord, how do we do this? Lord, would you fill me with extra power? Lord, give me wisdom. Father, this is my life, but I've turned it to you. I apologize that I've been running this life. If I've given it to him, how in the world could I be in charge of it? It's his. He's the true vine. I'm abiding in him. You know, take children for an example. Tweeners or tweens are the kids that are 8 to 12 years old. And George Barna's research group did some research across the nation about the tweens. And some of you have tweens. It's a rough time. Their research says that in talking to thousands of kids, it's a time of transition in their life. They're no longer little kids, but they're not teenagers yet. His latest survey among this age group shows that, quote, their family is critical to their success and satisfaction with life and is doing well in many areas. Without the family, at this crucial time, they do not shape a good worldview. The other areas from school to you name it go sour. But these kids are struggling, George said, in other dimensions of life that are likely to have lifelong repercussions. How important it is to plug the children into the true vine and let them learn from an early age. Nanette Clerier was telling me that when they pray with their two little ones, that they hold hands and all they can say is amen when they hear George and Nanette say amen. And I said, that's good. They don't know what's going on. They don't know how to pray. They can't talk yet, but they know an amen's okay. And they know that's the final deal. We leave it in your hands, God. You train children in the way that they should go. And if they're older and they depart, surely they will return to the things of the Lord. Each Christian is like a growing child. Their development for today is based on their input to the true vine and their response to the nourishment they receive. But you know, a pastor, a minister, a preacher, an evangelist, we can all just pour our hearts out to you and just beg you. And that won't do anything. If you don't have the desire to bear fruit, there isn't a motivational speaker anywhere that'll get you bearing an ounce of fruit. And if you go because you like the way the person speaks, but you never open up the Holy Scriptures, if you go to church without a Bible, and I have a bone to pick with the pastors that say, here, read my sermon notes. If you don't go with the Bible to church, I doubt you go with it anywhere else or you ever open it during the week. If you abide in me, and then he says, my words abide in you. See, it's between you and God. It's not between you and a church dogma or doctrine or ism. It's between you and God. You have to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 5, I'd like you to notice what happened here. And I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same, brings forth much fruit. If you were to die at 3 o'clock this afternoon in an auto accident, you would instantly be into heaven for either judgment or a new body. Either way, we will be looked at and scrutinized for the fruit we produced with our life. Would you be ashamed to stand before the Lord and say, well, I raised my hand one time, or I was at a Billy Graham crusade, and does that count? We are to bear much fruit. That's a descriptive adjective, isn't it? We're not to bear sour fruit, happy fruit, glad fruit, financial fruit, but just much. Our lives should just overflow so much that God comes in and says, boy, no bad grapes on that one. This one I have spent a lot of time with, and it is really producing. I can share it with other people. You see, in him, the Bible says in the book of Acts, St. Paul said, for it's in him, Stephen, we live, we move, we have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. We're his branch. Nothing spiritually acceptable? Well, we're lost without him, and you must remember that Jesus is the source of all life. It's that simple. If you're getting your source from anywhere else, and you get your high from skydiving, and I live to skydive, I live to paddleboard, I live to surf, you've said it with your own lips. But if you live to bring glory to God, all of those things can be in your life, but when your priority's right, the blessings of God comes. You see, in verse 6, there's one purpose for you and for me if we don't bear fruit. There's one purpose. The purpose was we were designed to bear much fruit, that our lives would bring glory to God for what we did with the time that we had. But the main purpose is, if it's lost, then it's only good for fuel. Turn to Ezekiel and read with me Ezekiel 15, the prophet Ezekiel, as he speaks to Israel now in verse 1. Ezekiel 15 in the Old Testament. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, what is the vine? A tree more than any other tree? Or than a branch which is among the trees of the forest? Shall wood be taken of the vine to do any work? Can we get any good out of this branch, is what he's saying. Or will men take a pin of it and make a peg maybe and hang any vessel thereon? Maybe in the kitchen, take a piece of that vine and still it's not producing, but I can make a peg and at least the fruit of it will be in the kitchen where the coffee cup is hanging, or the keys by the door, or a tool out in the garage. Just a little peg. Could you do that with it? Could your life produce anything that could be fruit? Behold, it's cast in the fire for fuel. A branch that is not producing is cast in the fire for fuel. It's good for nothing but fuel. That's all. Nothing more. The fire devours both the ends of it, the midst of it's burned, so a life from the beginning to the end and everything in it's just burnt up in flames. Is it meet for any work? Was this woman good for anything? This man accomplished anything with his life for the glory of God? Behold, when it was whole, it was meet for no work. How much less shall it be meet yet for any work when the fire has devoured it and it's burned? How could it be? What about your life? What about Israel? What about the church? What good are we if we're good for nothing? Aren't you tired of being a good for nothing? I spent the first 26 years of my life being a good for nothing. I didn't help one soul or do one good deed for 26 years, rotted away, burned, and it was nothing but fuel for the fires of the devil to hurt other people and destroy other lives. In verse 7, Jesus winds up his message and he does a transition. Notice what he says. If you abide in me, here's an if, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, it's going to be done for you. That's right. Herein is my Father glorified. He's glorified by doing things for you, that you bear much fruit. So you'll be my disciples. You see, my words abide in you. In Mark 8, he said, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me, and my words, plural, in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of the Father with his holy angels. Are you ashamed of Jesus? You embarrassed to be seen with your Bible? In John 12, if any man hears my words and doesn't believe, I'm not going to judge him. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. But he that rejects me and receives not my words has one that will judge him. The word that I have spoken, the same will judge him in that last day. So if you were to die this afternoon at 3 o'clock and you reject him and you reject his words, it's going to be his words that said he was the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by him that will judge you for eternity. You chose not to bear fruit. In John 14, Jesus answered and said, "If a man loves me, he shall keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And he that loves me not doesn't keep any of my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, it's the Father's which sent me." So if you don't love Jesus, you're not going to want to hear his word, read his word, memorize his word, or live by his word. In John chapter 5, verse 4, we saw, "How can you believe which receive honor one of another, patting each other on the back? And you seek not the honor of the one that comes from God only. Do not think that I'll accuse you to the Father. There's one that accuses you, even Moses, of whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. For he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how shall you believe my words?" Or how about finally in Luke? Luke 21, would you read it out loud with me? "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words by no means will pass away." See, his word's eternal. So if you abide in him and his word abides in you, it's what's flowing through you as a branch that lets the green, lush leaves come out and then the fruit that other people can partake of. "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with partying and carousing, drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that day come unto you unexpectedly, you don't know when. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Death is going to get you. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and that you'll be able to stand before the Son of Man." Notice that Jesus transitioned himself from verse 1 to this verse, from abide in me to abide in my word. Now he's not here. We can abide by his Holy Spirit in him, but we have the honor and the privilege of learning his word, putting it in our heart, and abiding in his word. As we pray more deeply and we read and meditate and study more deeply, we get an empowered prayer life, an empowered Bible life, an empowered Christian life, an empowered human existence, abiding in the source of all life. One can but see the difficulty that some of you I see are struggling with to be a disciple, because we're not a disciplined group of people. The hedge has been taken away from our country. He's not protecting it anymore. Very little. The fence has been beaten down. The enemies that we never thought would be on our soil have come into his vineyard. We have desecrated the holiness of what God gave us as a people, and we don't care. And our pride is so huge that we don't see that the judgment is here. He's not turning the soil anymore. He's not fertilizing anymore. He's not giving the attention to us that he used to give us, because we have turned from him. That's why he told Israel in 2 Chronicles, "If my people that are called by my name, the vineyard, will humble themselves and seek my face and pray," it starts with us. It's the only way our country can save itself from the destruction. But if you and I, as the Christian community, don't care, and we don't abide in him, it's just part of our schedule. Imagine the wrath that's going to come. Maybe the fence is broken down. The hedge has been taken away from your family. Yes, you're under financial attack. Your kids are in trouble. The business is failing. You lost your job. You're going to battle with somebody right now. You may want to stop and say, "Oops, I've got the plastic fruit going. And I beg, oh God, you will forgive me." And ask God to be the true vine in your life, and that you would hook up with him. And let him restore the years that the cankerworm has eaten away and the locust has destroyed in your life. Some of you are upward and mobile, and you could care less what I've just said. But the day is going to come, and it'll come suddenly, and it may be too late for you. Now listen to his word as he tells us there's still time. Shall we stand and shall we pray? Lord, we're grateful to you. We're grateful that just these single words from the Gospel of John were not something new. You were telling nations these same words through prophets. And as we look at the failure of nations, and we can see out of the mouth of three witnesses, Malachi, Isaiah, Ezekiel, that a nation still didn't listen, we can look at Jesus and see that he brings it to personal lifestyle. And still people don't get it. Churches don't get it. Congregations don't get it. Men and women don't get it. But today our prayer is we would get it. And we would just, Father, bask in you. That our source from everything would be you. There is nothing this world has to offer us to bring forth spiritual fruit. And so, Father, if you have stopped cultivating our soil and fertilizing, if you have stopped pruning and trimming our lives, Lord, if you've let the hedge be eaten up and the fence broken down around us, we don't want Satan to walk to you and say it's only because you have a hedge about him that he's blessed. God, we're vulnerable. Help us. We're sorry. And we pray for the leaders of business, education, and government. Those that have made nothing but money and power and position off of the people. That have allowed our hedge to be broken, our gates kicked down, leaving our troops stranded. We're begging for mercy on these people. We're begging mercy on our own souls. That we have not been humble enough to see that only you can bring lasting fruit in any of our lives. Forgive us of this sin. As our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and we begin to worship this last song, some of you I know would like to just get it right with God right now. It was like a dart in your heart when you realized, yeah, I'm vulnerable. I remember I had a lot and it's been taken away. Yeah, I remember never had any issues. The hedge is gone. The fence is kicked in. Maybe you realize that, yeah, you do have a plastic life. It's a lot of ego and pride, flesh. Yeah, you aren't producing godly fruit from the Word of God, but you want to change all that today. And I want you to just do this. Say, God, forgive me, for I have sinned against you, and I have abided in a lie instead of you. And I come to you and ask you to empower me with the Holy Spirit so that I could abide in Jesus and his words would abide in me. Use me, God, the remaining days, weeks, hours, months, or years of my life to do nothing but glorify you with every ounce of life I have and ability. May you take this vessel called my body and life and mind and soul, and may you just be glorified and give me the strength to move with your Spirit. If that's your desire and your prayer, all I want you to do while everybody else is praying about their issues is just look up at me and hold your hand up that I can remember to pray for you. God bless you. Father, we thank you so... Yes, sir. Right here in the striped shirt. Yes, sir. Yes. We thank you so much for these people. You know what the devil has done against them. You know how they've let their guard down. You know where they're at this very second. And we pray you take the shame or the brokenness and that you'll turn it into something strong and good for your glory. And I pray for each of these people, especially these young men, God, that you would take them like you did me when I was their age and that you'll just use them more powerfully than you have ever brought an ounce of fruit out of my life. I pray for these couples that have raised their hands together. You'd bless these marriages, overflow their marriages and their houses with peace. Pray for these women that have raised their hands, that your hearts would just touch them, that they would not let the world be their source of role modeling or dress code or anything, that they would get their love and their attention and every ounce of life from you. Help us, dear God, in Jesus Christ's name, to abide in him and abide in his word. So we fall in love with the Spirit today, knowing that only the Holy Spirit can give us this power and this energy. So help us, Lord, until we come back together at our next meeting and that we can follow this up in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hey, God bless all of you. That many, many, many of you raised your lives. May your life be changed forever. We rejoice with you and the angels of heaven right now. Just trust him. Don't worry about a thing. Just trust him. Open up your Bible. Start reading his words. And then you abide in him by saying, whoops, that wouldn't be pleasing to Jesus. It's not what would Jesus do. It's what would you do. We already know what Jesus would do. And he's just waiting for you to get on track with him.
You've been listening to Mike McIntosh on Chapter and Verse Radio, where falling in love with the Holy Spirit has been our topic. We'll resume our studies of this look at the third person of the Trinity next time here on Chapter and Verse. If you'd like to keep up to date with the international outreach of Horizon Christian Fellowship, look under the Ministries link, then go to Missions on the website at hcf.org. This is where you'll find information about Horizon missions and churches around the world. If you'd like to keep in touch with a missionary family in the field, this is the site where you'll find contact information and news about developments around the world. Every Christian should be interested in the progress being made in spreading the gospel, and the Horizon website is one of the places where you can be a part of the missions effort taking place in our day. Again, look under the ministry section and click on the missions link on the web at hcf.org. Make plans to join us next time when we'll continue our series through the Gospel of John. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.